Thanks, Rob. It's Download here at 720 WGN. I thought we changed the locks. I thought the key card had been taken away from Chris Jones, the chief theater critic at the Chicago Tribune. But I guess somehow he got in the building. It's good to see you, buddy.
It's nice to be here. You know, I thought I had a show and I didn't have a show. So I thought, well, no, I don't want to cancel on Justin. I'm going to stick around, do a bit of work.
So what? You know, oh, no, man, you stayed on, man.
I stayed on. Aww. I stayed and did some work. And then I found myself on StubHub, Justin. I guess I did. And Sunday night, there were these two tickets that came up. Section 516.
5,000, yeah.
Two and a quarter for me and my boy. Each. Two and a quarter.
To go see
Sunday night.
Don't say Bears Jaguars.
Two and a quarter. And I hit go. Wow. And then I look at them and I go and I see that little restricted view thing.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh. What do you think? Two and a quarter? Is that ridiculous?
I don't think it's ridiculous. Pete would know better. He goes to the games and he would say, no, it's not ridiculous. Pete, what do you say?
No, I think that's a fair
that's all
price.
Right. Yeah. What about that restricted view thing in the 500s? Is that going to be all right?
Well,
lean round the pillar there.
I sit. Our seats are in the 500 section, and the only way that's restricted is if, like, you're behind one of the poles that
yes,
are up there.
Yes, I have a feeling yeah. that is in fact the case. Yes.
But that doesn't mean you're right behind it. It means that you might not be able to see the second baseman from your line
yes.
of sight or something
for,
like
for,
that.
For two and a quarter, Pete.
That's
yeah.
it's worth
quarter.
It.
Right.
You're going to see history.
Yeah, it is.
You're going to see history. It's such a Cubs fan. You're going to see history. Right now, the Dodgers leading the Nationals in the seventh inning 4-1, so we'll keep an eye on that for the rest of the year. Chris, let's talk about some theater stories. We, you know, obviously, we haven't talked in a while,
no.
but Hamilton, the big
yeah.
story that it's been in previews. I've seen everybody's Facebook page with the Hamilton, program.
I was in the room where it happened.
So Wednesday, yeah, so Wednesday is actually the
yes.
the first show of Hamilton.
Wednesday is, as far as the likes of me are concerned, the opening night after about 2.5 weeks of previews. And the show is pretty much clean, as they say in the biz, for about a year. So they've pretty much sold pretty much every ticket for the next year. There's a few scattered tickets, I'm told. And if you got the big bucks, the Cubs bucks, you can, if you William got that 2.25 or more, then you can maybe snag yourself a seat. But it remains a difficult ticket for people. And we'll find out if the Chicago production sort of is up to snuff on Wednesday night. I imagine.
Is that how it works? I mean, do you review on opening night?
Yes, I'm going Wednesday night.
Skip preview? I thought that's what previews are for.
Well, previews are, before I show up, basically. And then Wednesday, so they're all here working on it all weekend.
Okay.
The great Lin-Manuel Miranda, I suspect, is skulking around town at this very moment, maybe, or certainly later in the weekend. And then I imagine he'll be there Wednesday night, and then basically all the creatives will clear off and they'll put their mind to London and Los Angeles mm-hmm. and all the other companies of Hamilton, and that will be it. And that's the end of the process for Chicago beginning Wednesday night. And that's the big thing. And, every indication is that it'll be a great show.
And that's a show, obviously, that could run for years. I mean, it's open-ended on how.
There's no question it's at least a year, and my suspicion is it will be 2, if not 3 years.
Wow. All right, so there you go. So if you maybe next year, if you got
yeah.
that 2.25.
And they're all making Download kind of money.
Yeah,
in the show.
They really
making
are.
Making multiple millions.
Really, multiple. Multiple millions. All right, the story you did today, it's fascinating to me. There's been a glut of commercial productions
yes.
that come through. Touring productions done really for for-profit
yes.
Theater coming through town. Chicago's not embracing them.
Well, it's been tough, Justin. These last few days and weeks, it's been tough. We've had a show called The Hell Drivers of Daytona that opened and closed pretty much on the same night. We've had Cheers the Musical, which I really liked, actually. Cheers the Musical was a fun show. That closed suddenly. I heard some story today that they'd literally said to the actors, goodbye, we'll send your stuff on after you. So, I mean, it was that bad. Those
wow.
guys thought they were all on a national tour for the next year, and it all just fell apart, which is a reminder of the fragility of the business they call show, let me tell you. So there was that didn't go well. There's this show, The Barty Bunch, which was kind of a mashup of the
yeah.
Brady Bunch and the part. That tanked. So there's been quite a few fairly high-profile snafus. The factors to me are, number one, well, the Cubs are in town. That's not, you know, great for live entertainment, nor for restaurants, because you're looking now at the next 2.5 weeks, you know, we like to think, of action, especially if those games go the full, you know,
seven games.
Yeah. That kills the next two. By then, it's almost the holidays. So you people are dealing with that. They're dealing with our good friend Donald Trump, who is more theatrical than anything in a theater, more outrageous, more, you know, it's just like addictive.
Yeah.
I was sitting there as I was waiting for the gig tonight. I'm sitting there watching as I had a little roast chicken. I'm sitting there watching, you know, his wife demanding an apology. I'm like, what is she demanding an apology for?
She's demanding us.
A retraction? Exactly what she was demanding. But you've got Donald Trump, who is an enormous entertaining distraction.
I mean, there's something to it. I remember when the Cubs went in 2003, the year with obviously with Bartman and the whole that there were a lot of stories that came out about how the Cubs and that whole movement crushed theater box offices. A lot of theaters in that area in Lakeview, audiences don't come out. That is just a thing that they don't when there's sporting events.
And it's worse when you're in Lakeview because people think you can't park. I mean, the Mercury Theater, I hear, has just been having people call up and they'll say, I can't park. Or they'll say, can I get my money back because there's a playoff game? So that's a big problem. And if you go back even further to the great days of Michael Jordan in the 90s, it used to cripple June in this town. You remember in June, everything used to stop. Nobody went out to eat.
Yeah.
Everybody, the only place that did well was sports bars. Now, I was talking to this a pal of mine who owns a restaurant out in Jefferson Park, and he was saying essentially that it's no good for restaurants, that people don't. They'll go to a bar, but that's it. And so that I do think that's a problem. I do think the election is a bit of a problem. But you've also got, you know, what Hamilton teaches us, I think, is that people want shows at the moment that are exciting and that are substantial. People are in a mood for some substance. You know, you watch the TV and you watch Trump and you go, the theater is more substantial. You know, I'm actually writing about this on Sunday, that you can go, if you've got kids and you want to teach your kids a bit about America, what democracy means, what America's all about, you know, to elevate the discourse, to get them to think about what it means to represent others and what leadership is. Hamilton's a lot better than the presidential campaign. I mean, good
true,
Lord.
It's true.
I mean, it's upside down. You know, the clowns are not in the theater, Justin. They're right there. You know, they're right there. I mean, everything's topsy-turvy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, go to Hamilton and switch off Donald Trump.
Is there anything to be that, and we talked about this on how, you know, theater has become an expensive ticket. And then these commercial productions come through town. They're not cheap. You're not $20.
No, they're going to be 50, 40, 60, 50, 60, 60 70, 70, right. And I think some of them, you know, there's a lot of retro shows. There's a lot of sitcoms. It's like the Cheers show, for example, was, you know, for any fan of Cheers, it was the first season of Cheers. And that was very good TV writing, I'm sure you recall. And it had actually had a good arc, as they say in dramatic structure terms, because you had the relationship between with Diane, and so you had that ability to sort of create an actual arc that their relationship could kind of span the whole show. And they were really good actors, good union actors, and it was a great show, but it was still Cheers. And, you know, anybody under 40 now, they're like, really? I'm going to go, you know, and the same with the Brady Bunch. And I mean, yes, they're nostalgic attractions, but they're not, they don't compel you to go. That's the problem. They're not must-sees. And that's the thing that Hamilton has got. Everybody's, you know,
it's a must-see.
Killing themselves. It's a must-see. Otherwise, you feel like you are not on top of the, you know, the conversation in our town. You've got to see it. I mean, I got hit up 3 times today with people.
Really?
Three times. Yeah. Everyone's like,
say, I'll get you Hamilton tickets if you can get me unrestricted views.
That's right. I'll even trade you.
the two
that I bought tonight. Did I mention they were 2.25?
Chris Jones, chief theater critic at the Chicago Tribune. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, talk some more. Stay with us. I am not betting against my cause. I am not betting against my cause. And you're just like my city, the young, scrappy, and gritty. What is this? Oh, the Hamilton parodies coming out of the woodwork. Hamilton and Cubs. Perfect for Chris Jones. Yeah, there we go. Chicago Tribune's Chris Jones in studio. All right, so let's talk about a couple more issues. Obviously, War Paint was here during the summertime. It's great pre-Broadway tryout. And just today they said, hey, we know.
For the main stem, baby, the main stem, the Broadway opening in April. That's the Goodman Theater production going to Broadway with Patti LuPone, complete with her outrageous Polish accent, which I was about to attempt, but maybe not. And then Christine Ebersole playing the two makeup heiresses Helena Rubinstein and Elizabeth
Arden. Is this the kind of thing, you know, that we'll see in June for the Tonys?
Oh, yeah, I think you will absolutely see two nominations. Yeah. I think that's the aim, for two, you know, because it's sort of structured as a twin lead. I think Patti LuPone is an absolute certainty for a Tony nomination. Of course, I'm saying all this before the season's even barely got going, but, it's a pretty good bet. And Kristin Ebersole, too. How the show will do, that remains to be seen. My view is they need to do a lot of work. So the question will be, have they done that work? But the show sold in Chicago massively. I mean, the Goodman was getting Cubs prices, let me tell you. Almost what I paid today for my precious restricted view tickets they were getting for War Paint. And so it did very well. People, you know, it's interesting that people just want to see that show. You know, particularly a certain... ladies of a certain age are very interested in it because those two women were exceedingly famous. And of course, we're very influential on style and on makeup. So I think that's kind of cool news. The other good part of that is that a lot of Chicago performers get to do a Broadway show.
That's great.
There's several of them in it. Far as I can tell, everybody's going. They got a little iffy on that today. I'm like, is everybody going? Well, we think so.
So yeah, pay attention to that.
You know, not everything's signed, I guess. But I think pretty much it's the Goodman production that's going to Broadway. So that is an exciting thing. That's a big positive. It's always good when shows from here go to New York.
And the other story in Chicago that just hit the papers this week, and you wrote about it, was more administrative, and mostly because of a fallout at Second City. Some cast members left.
Cast members, administrators, more staff changes. I heard there were a couple more today even. There's a lot of turmoil.
What's happening there?
Well, you know, it's hard to, as an outsider, it's hard to put your finger on it entirely. I think it's a combination of just... really an older generation of creative leadership that really did sort of keep everybody safe over there that's now either died or moved on. You've got people like Sheldon Patinkin, Joyce Sloan, even Kelly Leonard, who's now left the company. So you've got a bit of a vacuum of leadership, and there's been a lot of attempts to fill it, and I think they are still trying to get that sorted out. And then my suspicion is that the younger generation of performer is probably a little bit less tolerant than you were when you were 22 of the 10:30 Trump voting drunk Yahoo who's shouting stuff out at 10:30 at night.
They kind of pointed to
nature.
This. They alluded to this. Andrew Alexander alluded to the idea that that the staff was uncomfortable with the concept of some of the stuff that was being thrown at them.
The crude things being thrown at them, which if anyone listening has been to Second City 11 o'clock on a Saturday night, you're going to get it. And it's not pleasant sometimes, but you're going to get it. And traditionally in improv, I'm telling you this, but traditionally you use that, you let it roll off your back. You know, I just wonder sometimes with a younger generation of performer now, and you can argue, rightly so, there's a less of a willingness to tolerate that kind of thing.
Especially,
and that's just cultural change.
And you know, depending on what's being thrown out, but we are seeing a shift in sort of political correctness and what we're allowed to sort of laugh at, or we're supposed to just sort of roll off our backs. That it's changed. My generation, you just kind of went with it, and you could even match the dirtiness and things of that nature.
Yes,
that's not what they can do. They're not allowed to do that at Second City either.
That's right. And then on adding to that, you've got this sort of crude political discourse right now with the world of Trump and the world of, you know, grabbing this and that, and you've got all of that in the mainstream. So, you know, what Andrew, I think, was arguing was that people are feeling more empowered. A certain kind of person is feeling more empowered to shout some of that stuff out. And it's very tricky, and it requires a lot of experience to handle in a comedic sort of way, because it's just very, very difficult. And I think you've got younger performers, that's a very difficult... It's just Second City perhaps adjusting to the new world order.
It's amazing to think about, too, because you can go as far back as Bill Murray and guys like that, John Belushi, who were young, 19, 20, 21 years old, doing the same thing and dealing with the same shout-outs of their time, and able to – that almost becomes a rites of passage. So there is something to be said that Second City is a training ground for – being able to handle that kind of stuff at a young age.
I'm guessing it was pretty difficult to offend John Belushi. Can you imagine John Belushi going out and going, I'm really offended by that remark from
maybe,
the audience.
Maybe,
like, he would have cared of what anybody ever said to him. It's
I'm fascinated.
How we've changed.
Next time you're on, we got to talk more about what you find out about that situation. Because I am interested if it's a generational thing.
Yes.
Or if, you know, it's just sort of dysfunction that's happening in Second City.
Well, I think it's a bit of both. And I think some of it's just change and the difficulty of change. And, you know, to their credit, they still sell out every night. if somebody's coming to town and they say, I'm going to, you know, I've never been to Chicago, I want to see one show, I always send them there. You can't go wrong. It's not, can't go wrong. It's proven material. It's not expensive. It's a good time. You know, both reviews there, when I saw them, I've actually just taken away my recommendation of one of them because everybody's left. So I'm not like recommending a show I've not seen with the people doing it. But I think in general, the shows have been pretty, you know, remain pretty solid.
And I think that there's something there. I mean, I think in the history of Second City, and, you know, you'd know better than I, but it does feel like rarely are there these mass exoduses.
Yes.
Most of the time, they'll get picked off to either their time is
right.
up or they get picked off by a television show to go to L.A. or New York, like Saturday Night Live. But the idea that a cast is like, I'm fed up with it. Three, four people left?
Three, four people, yeah.
I mean,
it's
always
bizarre, and of course they don't like to talk about it because nobody wants to be labeled a troublemaker.
Right.
So these are not always easy stories to report for that reason.
Interesting,
but you know, they'll recover. It's not, you know, it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. But it's still an interesting. I just think the world of improv and of tolerance and all of that is just changing greatly. And Andrew makes this argument that people are too crude, you know, that people feel empowered by what they're seeing on their TV sets right now.
And that may well be right. And it goes to both sides because you're also seeing a different generation, a different tolerance to people performing on stage together.
Improv is
very misogynistic in times when
guys,
and this has been highly documented in the theater community, where you're getting sexual harassment essentially on stage from guys who think it's funny.
Yes.
And that is something that has to change. And it seems like it might be changing. We see, you know, we saw at I.O. An actual, almost like a Bill of Rights thing.
Yes.
Like coming through.
No, I think that's all good stuff, and it's all changes that have to happen, but it's not easy for it to happen.
Chris Jones, always a pleasure, man.
My pleasure, man.
I'm sorry that you didn't have a show. Usually I piggyback on it, so I apologize to your family.
Right.
You know,
just cost me $500 tonight.
Exactly. My bad. Just charge it to the download. We're friends. We're friends at Wrigley. Good
Thanks
to see you, buddy.
Lot.